5088. Where does the divine agony enter? Why? Before the incarnation? Isn't the incarnation the intrusion, the initial intrusion of the divine abyss into the mundane something? Christ said, "I have conquered the world." It was like an impregnation of matter, yin, by the creative divine yang. But the divine will is thwarted. It encounters opposition. Burma points this out. Matter has hysteresis, or inertia. Its entropic direction must be transmuted into negentropism, a titanic task possible only in a protracted process or series of sequential steps. The intruding light is rejected. Our problem may be that we have no comprehension of the inner necessity of sequence in this transmutation. Could our agony be microcosmic replication of the macrocosmic divine, with which we are one, isomorphic, and two, actual fragments of, like bits of a hologram, intact gestalts, but dimmer or less defined? The Urgrund sought self-intuition. We as dimmer bits have not yet achieved that self-intuition. Hence, when we suffer, we do not know why. Up the hierarchical scale, there is still suffering. Even perhaps an increasing level of suffering at each hierarchical stage. But also at each ascending stage, there is a quantum leap in a self-intuition, which bestows, permits greater understanding of why there is this suffering. At the top, the incarnated Son, Heart, Logos, etc., Santa Sophia, knows himself totally, and knows totally why he suffers. It is due to the blitz, the flash of the encounter between the divine abyss and the something which must be overcome, transmuted. This is why Paul can speak of the whole universe being in birth pangs. Here enters the cosmic aspect of salvation presented in Colossians. Note: Dick is likely referring to Colossians 1:18 through 20, which states that God wanted all things to be reconciled through Christ, and for him everything in heaven and everything on earth, when he made peace by his death on the cross. More specifically, Dick is probably referring to the footnotes in the Jerusalem Bible, a Catholic translation first published in 1966 and containing extensive theological annotations written by a committee of Jesuit scholars. Dick frequently quotes from this version's footnotes, suggesting that it was his preferred study Bible, though he is also known to have owned an annotated copy of the New Testament in the New English Version. The notes for this passage of Colossians declare that Christ is head not only of the entire human race, but of the entire created cosmos, so that everything that was involved in the fall is equally involved in the salvation. GM. End note. 5091. Has anyone thought of this modified Gnosticism? There was no creator of this world, planet, or cosmos, and the life therein. Atheists such as Darwin are absolutely right. It was no God, but simply natural law at work, determining evolution. However, a loving, all-wise, sentient superentity inhabiting an upper triad, etc., has entered the scene and is transmuting this purely naturalistic world into a totally benign sentient body or organism. 5092. It is a major realization that just as Thomas Aquinas's natural theology arguments, such as arguing back from design to designer, etc., fail to prove the existence of God, the ruthlessness and disorder in nature do not logically imply a bad creator God. No argument, natural or ontological, proves God's existence. Thus, the Gnostic belief in a deranged or inferior or evil creator isn't substantiated. Therefore, we Gnostics are out on a limb vis-a-vis a bad creator in terms of argument. So out goes all cosmogony for this world. What remains is what I have by revelation, a supernatural divine intelligence doing what Jacob Burma saw, colliding with the material universe and transforming rather than abolishing it. If I do not regard Zebra as a creator God, but a modulating God, then what we seem to actually have is a divinization of the mundane, or plan over non-plan, organic interaction over chaos. No dualistic theology is necessary. 5093. Take the statement by the Spirit to me back in 1968 about the Galapagos turtle. The import of what the Spirit said was that even though it appeared otherwise, the dying turtle was somehow extricated, and she shall see the sea. One could extrapolate and say that this statement implies that even what appears to be or remain unsubdued evil is invisibly ameliorated in a mysterious way. Burma wrote that man, i.e. men, have a choice illuminated for them by the light of the Spirit. We can remain in torment as victim of the oscillations of the lower triad or material universe, or die to ourself, negate ourselves, as the Urgrund does, and thereby imitate Christ and follow him from suffering to triumph, joy. Thus, anguish is ultimately something to overcome, not fall victim to. Anguish is the starting point, so we must not tarry in anguish, but hasten with gladdening footsteps. 50.101. The cunning counterfeit of reality revealed as such when authentic reality breaks through, like the tip-tip of the branch blowing against the window in Finian's Wake during Earwicker's dream. This tip-tip is the clue, and the only clue. In Ubik, it is the commercials and messages intruding from the other side, Lem. Do we experience that? I did in 374. So I am forced to conclude that our reality is a cunning counterfeit mutually shared, and that the wise mind is trying to signal us. To do what? To kick over into anamnesis, discharge of DNA long-term memories. To remember and to wake up are absolutely interchangeable. 50.105. It may be that the divine is re-entering, not entering our universe. This would indicate a fallen state of our world, and the divine enters at the bottom, i.e. in the trash, the lowly, the discarded. Christ speaks of the tiny mustard seed, and the gloss on the Jerusalem Bible stresses that the kingdom will enter inconspicuously, very small, i.e. lowly. Where we would be least likely to look for it, the stone rejected by the builder. Note. While the exegesis is largely concerned with Western philosophy, Western religion, and Western science, Dick was strongly influenced by his rather typically Californian encounter with the East. Hinduism gave him a powerful language in which to think about the absolute and the problem of illusion. His embrace of paradox, organic process, and the lowly was deeply marked by his reading of Zen and Taoism, and especially his obsessive use of the I Ching, the ancient Chinese Book of Changes. The I Ching uses a binary system, yin and yang, broken and solid lines respectively, to express and model the myriad phases of growth and decay. Like many oracles in Dick's fiction, including The Man in the High Castle, which was partly written using the I Ching, the book's messages, a mixture of Taoist, Confucian, and shamanic lore, are accessed through the throw of coins or other randomizing techniques. Indeed, with its computer-like code, its relentless oscillation of opposites, and its reliance on synchronicity, the I Ching gave Dick an early experience of an organic and mystical information entity. Valis, before the name, two hexagrams depict the trash dialectic that so concerned Dick, graphically figured through the loss and return of a single yang line between the two figures. In the Wilhelm Baines edition that Dick regularly used, the movement between these two hexagrams is described thus. When what is above is completely split apart, it returns below. E.D. End note. This realization is very important. And this lowly trash, bottom penetration, is exactly how I portray it, ubic, in ubic. On match folders, in tawdry commercials, therein lie the divine messages. Entry from the provinces, Galilee, now takes the form of entry from trash in the gutter on up. A trashy SF novel, which contains trash, the chapter opening commercials, is the triumphant return of the rightful king. Ubik is trash containing an even lower order of trash, the Ubik commercials, but which are in fact Vox Dei. Note: Latin, voice of God. End note. 50.109. A human can evolve into Christ if Christ ignites his own self in the human and takes the human over. There is only one difference between God and Christ. That is one of accessibility, equality to man. Christ, as Hagia Sophia, can ignite himself in a man and speak with him in a dialogue. At this point, the man rises from time, space, and the slavery of deterministic nature mechanics, remembers all, and knows himself by means of Christ as inner light. 50.121. The two realms, sublunar, our world, and the supralunar, heaven, are bridged by a polyencephalic mens. Note: Latin, mind. End note. Which is heterogeneous. The most startling part is that at our sublunar end, certain wise men, magi, and saints participate in it, and at the other end, wise men and saints who have died, passed over to heaven or the supralunar, participate in it. The substantial structure is God as Holy Spirit, bridging the two worlds. 50.137. We can be moved anywhere, anytime, caused to do or not do anything, entirely motivated by an external force, mind, and never perceive the Leibniz-like preset clocks, which chime in unison. We're a fucking goddamn biosphere ruled by an entity who, like a hypnotist, can make us not only quack like a duck on cue, but imagine to boot that we wanted, decided to quack. 50.142. Ah, my bipolarization between the human and the android, free man liberated versus the artifact-controlled android. I am now prepared to elevate the bipolarization into theological, supernatural, cosmic dimensions. The concept of balking assumes the status of successfully resisting cause and effect script programming. Mekis versus Agape. Note: In Maze of Death, Dick provides this definition. Mekis, the Hittite word for power. It had passed into the Sanskrit, then into Greek, Latin, and at last into modern English as machine and mechanical. End note. Love is the total permission of exception and leads us from rule, law, justice, to paradox, mercy. Paradox is the manifestation of metamorphosis by a reversal of opposites, alchemy, Empedocles, etc., and especially Christ's parables and sayings about the kingdom, and about judgment and the final dispositions. Folly, madness, passion, the joyful dance versus iron limitations imposed. This is the age of the inner spirit, in which inner spirit, via anamnesis, and teaching, discerning and knowing, Sophia, become real and the external material order, world, revealed as delusion. The material world is about to be abolished, and its hold on us with it, dispelled, my published writing. The abyss is devouring the abyss by an outburst of ecstasy. What has happened is that the occluded mind is restored to its primordial wholeness. February 1978. Folder 28. 28:1. The other universe is an intelligent thinking mind, and so when it impinges on our material universe, these impregnations take the form of written or audible information, words, such as described in Ubik. This is, in fact, the basic situation in Ubik, the impinging on the irreal world they are in, while half alive, in the form of helpful information. The term for this impinging information is word, or logos. And the Marxist intellectuals know that, one, that is what is happening in Ubik, and two, Ubik itself is the logos. What we have is sentient radiation, energy or electricity or plasma or ionization. Using Tesla's theories about energy and information transfer, the Soviets are now able to synthesize a sort of mundane logos or ionospheric information transfer grid. Note: Nikola Tesla, 1856 to 1943, was an inventor, engineer, and legendary eccentric, best known for his development of alternating current, an important figure in outsider science. End note. However, Tesla, in his own work with such radar-like devices, found he had made contact with a St. Elmo's fire ETI, the intrusion of which, living sentient plasma, must puzzle and intrigue the Soviets. Ubik deals with all this. In reading Ubik, anyone familiar with either the man-made logos or the natural one would assume the author knew what he was writing about. Especially they would hope Ubik indicated the efficacy of their own system. What to me is most interesting is that this sheds a lot of light on the enigmatic term or entity logos, or the word and wisdom of God. Only if the other universe is conceived as Xenophanes, e.g. Anaxagoras conceived it, as nous, does word make sense as an entity, which is not only wisdom itself, but is alive and could incarnate itself here in human form. Since the real universe is mind, electromagnetic flux, it does not much think, but is esse, thought or word, word wisdom. Thoughts are ontologically real and not merely verbal descriptions of material reality. They are the final order of reality. Words bursting through the material world are in fact the real universe, nous, penetrating a mere holographic projection. Without the understanding and awareness of the real ultimate reality being one of mind, the concept, the word, makes no sense, since as Xenophanes saw, the nous wields the world by its thinking. The word wisdom is not a mere aspect of the ultimate, the Urgrund, but its activity per se. Hence, in Genesis, when God says, "Let there be light," there is light. He creates by saying, thinking. Bishop Berkeley. Note: George Berkeley, 1685 to 1753, was an Anglo-Irish philosopher whose theory of immaterialism contends that physical objects exist only in the mind of the perceiver, famously refuted by Samuel Johnson kicking a stone. End note. Also, Xenophanes realized that nous never moved about. The Tesla grid would be ubiquitous too, an analog of the actual logos. In a sense then, using biblical terms, the Soviets' Tesla mind control informing grid would be an antichrist, mimicking the logos itself. 28:4. Interestingly, my theolepsy did not withdraw me from the world, but quite the opposite, reintroduced me to the world and in a new and active, dynamic way, in which I impinged on it more than it impinged on me. And this was a microcosmic version of the Logos's dynamic impinging on the world in a vast, historically important way. I replicated in a tiny way its stance, and definitely linked, synchronized to its macrocosmic impinging. Thus, my role as victim, or object of mundane forces, was dramatically reversed, in fulfillment of the Scriptures, in which the powerless would judge the powerful, a complete reversal of the extant order of things. This dramatic reversal fits my most acute analysis and understanding of the end times, that vast paradoxical reversals, big, small, weak, strong, wise, foolish, major, minor, important, unimportant, etc., will, without warning, i.e., without evident transitional stages, set in. This is one way by which we will know, recognize, the end times. Those upheavals which are essentially reversals. A blackguard and a hippie cop will destroy the government and send them all into disgrace, prison, and exile. 28:10. The criminal virus controls by occluding, putting us in a sort of half-sleep, so that we do not see the living quality of the world, but see it as inert man reduced to automaton. The occlusion is self-perpetuating. It makes us unaware of it and of our keepers and helpers too. So restoration doesn't consist of enhancing, but lifting away and off. If there is to be immortality, there must be another kind of time, one in which past events, i.e. the past in its entirety, can be retrieved, i.e. brought back. I did experience such a time. Immortality is possible.